going to be talking a little bit about some work we've been doing, which is looking at really what is the distribution of lodging data. Because if you actually look at empirically how this data is distributed, it's obviously far from normal data. So as we move into looking at more complex models, mixed models, for looking at more accurate predictions, how do we handle this particular trait? So when we talk about a zero-inflated process, what we're talking about here is a trait that is not always expressed. So in other words, it's going to be a mixture of some null distribution, which is always going to throw back some value. In the case of lodging, this value would be zero, and some defined statistical distribution. So what we're looking at here specifically is a zero-inflated Poisson distribution, and this is going to be a mixture of a null distribution and Poisson distribution. And a common example of this might be disease susceptibility. So if you're trying to measure how resistant a line is to the presence of a certain pathogen, well, in the absence of that pathogen, you're always going to come up with a line that shows no response. But those really aren't valid records in estimating the genetic effects. In fact, one of the common applications of this type of model in a breeding setting is evaluating mastitis in dairy cattle. So the reason we wanted to look at lodging is here on your left, the bigger histogram is really just the empirical distribution of root lodging from a multi-environmental trial. And we can see that there is a very high proportion of zeros when we look at this. And this really raises the question, when we look at this large number of zeros, how many of these really are coming from our true expressions of the resistance of the line to lodging versus just the absence of conditions for the expression of this trait? And what we wanted to look at was, could we reproduce this type of distribution? What type of simulations or what type of distributions do we really need to get back this sort of empirical histogram that we see on the left? So on the right, we have two histograms which were simulated in two very, very different ways. On the top, we used the over-dispersed Poisson distribution, so lambda being the parameter in the Poisson distribution, which is going to determine the number of lines that lodge. We simulate it with a very large error variance, and we can get a distribution very similar to what we see on the left. And with this distribution, all these zeros are valid measurements of the trait. However, on the bottom, we simulate it as a zero-inflated process. And in this case, we randomly select 40% of the records just to be simulated from a null distribution. So in other words, all these zeros are not valid expressions of the trait. So what we really wanted to look at is, one, what type of distribution does lodging data really follow? And two, what kind of implications does our choice in modeling this really have on our predictions of genetic merit? So first we did a simulation, and we simulated four trials at five locations. We used a relatively simple model of location, genotype, and error, where genotype and error were treated as random effects. We simulated both the over-dispersed Poisson distribution and the zero-inflated Poisson distribution. And we also wanted to look at some real data to really try and estimate what type of mixtures we get between this null distribution and a Poisson distribution in real data. So we had two trials, one at 15 locations, one at 12 locations, with root and stock lodging data. And we analyzed this both treating it as a Poisson distribution and treating it as a zero-inflated Poisson distribution. So as we kind of jump into the results, here we have the parameter estimates. And unfortunately, these aren't showing up real well. But here we have the zero-inflated model. Here we have the true simulated values. And here we have what we get from a Poisson distribution. So when we simulate an over-dispersed Poisson distribution, in other words, there's no zero inflation, we can see that the parameter estimates from both the zero-inflated model and the Poisson model are fairly close across all four replications to the true values, this being for the residual error variance and this being for the genetic variance. However, when we look in the zero-inflated data, what we find is, particularly for the residual error variance, this being using a Poisson model, this being the true estimate down here and also the zero-inflated model, that we get severe overestimates of the residual variation if we ignore the fact that these records are actually zero-inflated and they're not all valid records or measurements of the genetic potential of this particular line. However, what we did find was it didn't have a very large effect on the genetic effect estimates. Really just the error variance was overinflated. Now to look at the theta, which this is the mixing proportion, so this will be the parameter that's returned from the model that really determines what proportion are going to be zero, what proportion are true. we can see that when we simulated this without zero inflation, we're getting zero estimates in all four replications. And when we're simulating it with zero inflation, we are recovering the true value, which is about 40% of the records were simulated as being inflated with the zero process. If we look at correlations, we can see that when we're not dealing with a zero inflated data, that both the zero inflated model and the Poisson model essentially give you back the same genetic estimates. If you look at both the rank correlations and the Pearson correlations, they're 0.999. However, when we compare to the true genetic values, we can see that under zero inflation, the zero inflated Poisson model does in fact return superior estimates of the genetic effect, and this correlation is greatly reduced between the two models. So now if we go to results from our real data set, here we have root lodging from trial one. And we can see across locations, this would be the parameter estimate for that theta. What is the mixing proportion? We can see that in some locations, this mixing proportion almost goes to one. In other words, it's saying that the most of the records from this location really aren't valid measurements of the lodging trait, and they're highly zero inflated. And they range anywhere from some locations here where everything was expressing lodging and everything in between. And we can see this also in trial two. When we look at stock lodging, we can see a very similar pattern, although in some of the locations the model was not getting very good estimates in terms of precision on some of these mixing proportions. But again, we can see that we see high heterogeneity from location to location in terms of how many records this model really estimates as being valid or not valid. So when we look at variance components, and here we're looking at the residual standard deviation, the genetic standard deviation. Again, as we saw with the simulated data, and this is with root lodging, we can see that we're getting highly inflated estimates of the residual variance when we failed to account for the zero inflation. However, unlike the simulation with root lodging, we did see that there were also differences in the genetic variance. In other words, we were getting reduced estimates of genetic variance using the zero inflated model. But when we look at heritability, we can see that our heritability estimates were always higher when we used a zero inflated model versus a straight Poisson model, not taking into account the null distribution. When we look at stock lodging, again, the same story here. We can see that we were getting much larger estimates in residual variation when using the Poisson model. Here, which was much like our simulation, we saw very little difference in the genetic estimates between the zero inflated and the regular Poisson model. So if we look at correlations of predictions of genetic effects, we can see that for root lodging, there actually was a fairly large difference in terms of the genetic predictions that you got out of these two models for the genetic potential for root lodging. And these were actually very similar to this simulated values around 0.83 and 0.84. However, for stock lodging, we did not see quite the same effect. And this is most likely because if you looked at the genetic variance estimates for the stock lodging, they're actually pretty close no matter which model we used. So in conclusion, the failure to account for zero inflation can lead to inflated estimates of variance components, in some cases double the size of what you would get from a zero inflated model. You see a decrease in accuracy of prediction of genetic effects in our simulated data. The analysis of the trials did show that both root lodging and stock lodging were a zero inflated process that was highly heterogeneous from location to location. And with the real trial data accounting for zero inflation, our modeling led to about a 25% increase in the estimated heritability. And with that, I'd take any questions you might have.
Yes? I got a twofold question. One, so Dow is now at their hundreds of locations using zero inflated data to analyze the root lodging.
No, so this is pretty preliminary. This has not been implemented as such. And I mean, there's two ways you can go about dealing with zero inflated. One would be to go through and say, well, I'm going to drop this location, because obviously lodging wasn't expressed here. You know, where, and in those cases, those types of locations are not that difficult to pick out and get rid of. The difficult locations are the ones where you get some lodging on some plants and not so much on others, and trying to balance, you know, how you use that kind of data.
Yes. I was going to say that with your data that you collected for root stock lodging, did all hybrids have perfect stroke or root worm, or did some have and some have not?
I didn't. So the question was, out of the hybrids we looked at in these two studies, did they have Herculex traits? Was that it? I actually did not break down and look at what the individual hybrids were. This was kind of a random dump of a couple locations out of our database. I didn't really dig into to what the hybrids were exactly.
So how did you estimate the bare components, the bare components, using some regression model or something?
So this was a Bayesian implementation. Based on Bayesian statistics, we were sampling from a posterior distribution. And that's how we ended up with our variance component estimates here. Yes?
As a seed of the past breeder, so what does this zero inflated value do to say? We always look at the CV for root latching, it's always full magnitude here. What does this do to the basic CV?
Yeah, so when you talk about CVs for lodging, it's kind of difficult because, you know, when we're talking about these models in particular, we have the observed scale, which is, you know, count data, and then we have an underlying scale, which we basically transform into another distribution that we actually saw for effects on. So when looking at CVs, the question is, are you looking at it on the observed scale or the underlying scale? And so I haven't actually looked at what difference of the CVs would be, just simply because I'm not sure, you know, really whether it makes sense to look at it on the observed scale or the underlying scale.
Did you use a particular program for the analysis, or did you just write the?
There's some software available called WinBugs, which basically allows you to specify distributions and your priors for a Bayesian model, and then it will calculate all the fully conditional distributions and sample them appropriately. So it makes it fairly easy to implement this kind of model.